Investigative journalist Alex Newman declares that government schools are indoctrinating our children to death. And he also provides solutions to stop the carnage on this episode of United Patriots Uprising with Gary Benford. I'm your host, Gary Benford. Thanks for joining us. This podcast is available at radioinfluence.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. You can find the video version at YouTube, Rumble, and Conservative Television of America. Hope you subscribe. Give us a rating and a review and a like click and turn that notification button on so you will get all the episodes. You know, we've heard that a mind is a terrible thing to waste, and it really is, but that's not criminal. What's criminal is what is going on in our public schools, insidiously and intentionally turning kids against everything that we the people stand for, so they can eventually have a godless, communist, socialist, Marxist, wherever you want to take it, nation. It's got to stop, people. And the guest today, Alex Newman, he's going to not only tell you what the problem is, he's going to give us some solutions to take care of it. So are you ready? Well, let's get into it. He's a nationally syndicated radio host, an internationally acclaimed award-winning journalist, author, and much sought-after public speaker. He's here to talk about his new book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. I welcome back to the show the CEO of Liberty Sentinel Media, Mr. Alex Newman. How are you, Alex? Great to have you back.
Hey, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me again, Gary.
Thanks for coming on, Alex. I truly, truly appreciate it. And to start, I want to read something that you said. I'm going to read it because I want to get it word for word about your great book. There is no battle more important than the fight to rescue our children from the monstrosity called public education. If we don't deal with this, we're going to lose our country. We're going to lose our freedoms. We're going to lose our churches, our families. All of this is on the line. Give up on the other issues because you're going to lose on all other issues. Please tell the people the complete name of your book because it says Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, but there's a subtitle to it. Tell them the complete name and why you say, if we don't get this public education system under control, all is lost.
Well, thank you, Gary. So the book is Indoctrinating Our Children to Death, Government Schools War on Faith, Family, and Freedom, and How to Stop It. It is, I believe, as you mentioned, the most important issue there is. And the reason why is that all of the other issues, the outcome of all the other fights that we're involved in, is going to depend on this one. Now, you know, best case scenario, maybe we can hold the totalitarians, the evildoers back another generation, maybe two if we work really hard and, you know, the generation after me lives really long. But ultimately, if you look, just looking at the data, just looking at the polling data, it's very obvious where this is all headed. You take my generation as an example, millennials, so-called, super brainwashed, right? 70% of them say they're going to vote for socialism in the future. All right. What happens when they become the dominant population group, the CEOs, the politicians, the pastors, the voters, right? Well, we're going to end up like Cuba. We're going to end up like Venezuela. You look at the next generation after us, it's even worse, right? Among millennials, less than half even identify as Christians. This is the first time in America that we've got a generation where only a minority even describe themselves as Christians. Our republic is based on biblical principles that come from the Bible. As Americans lose their faith because they're being indoctrinated to hate God, hate the truth, hate the Bible, hate their parents, hate the church, what's going to happen? Well, the principles that underpinned our republican form of government, the principles that protected our liberty, the principles that allowed us to be prosperous and secure and safe, etc., are going to be gone. And with it, the fruit of those principles will be gone. So really, this is just a race against time. If we don't deal with this crisis, The border is going to be more open. More babies are going to die in abortion. Taxes are going to get higher. Debt's going to get worse. The government's lies are going to get worse. And eventually, we're going to end up like every other nation that sunk into totalitarianism throughout human history. And it's that serious. And I don't mean that to scare people. I don't mean that as something that's intended to cause alarm. It's just the truth. And that's why I say this is the most important battle that we could focus on. And I don't mean by that, you know, stop fighting for the Second Amendment, stop fighting for border security, stop fighting for free speech. Those are all important battles. My point is, if we don't address this, we're going to lose all those battles, right? There's the cliche that politics is downstream from culture. Well, culture is downstream from, or is upstream from education. So education is the headwaters. That's what produces culture. That's what produces the political situation. So that's how we ended up in this mess. And if we're going to get out of it, that's how we're going to get out of it.
Wow, Alex, that's scary, but true. And I think, wouldn't you say that most people should be able to understand this? Because if you've been around for a while, if you go back to the 50s, you had two parents in every home. I remember we didn't have to lock our doors or our car. There was prayer in school, the churches, crime was low. The one thing you didn't want to see is your parents seeing you taken out with your head down, handcuffed, and everybody, isn't that Ms. Benford, Deacon is Benford's son, taken there to jail? And you never wanted to be seen on TV embarrassing your parents. And then the 60s came and things just changed. And then you notice prayer taken out of school and God's out of the workplace, the government, and even TV and families, everything started changing. And then all of a sudden words that used to, you would never hear, like promiscuity. And, you know, they're now people are shacking up, and then abortion came in once they started having babies and all these children out of wedlock and everything. And it just kept going and going and going. And then socialism, which had been a bad word, all of a sudden wasn't. And then all of a sudden now the C word, communism, can actually be fashionable. Che Guevara, T-shirt and free stuff, you know. So shouldn't they see from each generation it's getting worse and worse, so they need to really take this seriously?
They do. And you know, there's been this funny thing going on in America now. We're about four, maybe five generations into this. And each generation says, man, what's going on with the schools? Like, I remember when I was a child, we were learning stuff and we were, you know, in some cases saying prayers and reading the Bible. And each generation says this, and they're like, oh, well, you know, I guess the last generation said the same thing. Well, yes, they did. That's because they're observing something that is actually happening. The government schools are dumbing down the population. They're indoctrinating the children. They're sexualizing the children. And it's getting worse with every passing generation. That actually is happening. And that is accelerating now to the point where they're now telling kindergarten children that they might have been born in the wrong body, that castration or hysterectomies or double mastectomies will solve this alleged problem. I mean, this is how far we have fallen. The reality is the whole thing is built on a foundation of evil. And that's what I do in the book. I actually start off in chapter one with the history, and then chapter two, and then chapter three, and chapter four. And I show and I prove, right? This is not something that even can be debated, because we've got the primary source documents showing what these evildoers intended when they built this system. They always planned to use it to turn our children against God, against their family, against the church, against our country, against our Constitution. That was always the plan from the very beginning. You go back to Robert Owen, who first dreamed up this system. The guy was a proud communist. This was before Karl Marx even, by the way, argued that the government ought to educate children. Then you had Horace Mann, brought that system into the United States. Again, rejected God, rejected the principles our country was founded on. Then you have John Dewey, a guy who loved the Soviet Union, a guy who was openly a communist, not a revolutionary communist, but a communist nonetheless. And we act surprised then that the system is producing the fruit that it's producing. So we're now at a point, and you can document this using a whole bunch of different metrics. So one of the things that I did was I went back and looked at education before the government even got involved. Americans were by far the smartest, best educated, most literate people that had ever existed on the face of this planet. There wasn't even a close second. It was far and away the best educated society. We had almost 100% literacy in a lot of the major cities, 90, 95% literacy out in the countryside. This was unheard of throughout the rest of the world. And all of this happened before the government's camel nose even came under the tent. As soon as that nasty beast got under the tent, it was all over. It was all downhill from there. And we're now spiraling downward to the point where we're about to lose everything if we don't deal with this.
Right. Now, Alex, a lot of people just think the government is supposed to be involved in public education because that's all they know. A lot of people don't know it wasn't always like this. Please tell them what it used to be like and how they snuck this in, how the government was actually able to get the people to say, yeah, instead of us or the churches or, you know, private sector educating, we're going to let the government take over.
Yeah, it was a gradual process. The evildoers who came up with these ideas knew that these were going to be very unpopular. So let's go back briefly to the 1700s, even the 1600s. The very first education law that was ever passed in North America, this was passed by the Pilgrims in the 1640s in Massachusetts Bay Colony, long before we had a country. And they said that old deluder Satan has this nefarious plan to keep men from knowledge of the scriptures, right? Wow. And they said because of that, all the people in this colony, it was like a Bible colony, right? It wasn't like what we understand today, separation of church and state. I mean, it was just, you know, a Bible colony where the church and the state were kind of united. And they said everybody needs to learn how to read in this colony so that Satan can't deceive them. So that's really the genesis of a really passionate desire to educate everyone. Now, that was the norm in America, right? Families handled the bulk of education for hundreds of years. Moms, dads, grandparents, aunts, uncles, older siblings, almost all of our founding fathers were primarily educated at home by their families. And then, you know, sometimes they would call in a private tutor. Sometimes they would go to a church school for a little while. Sometimes they would go to college, maybe Harvard, Yale, Princeton, when they were 14, 15, or 16 to further their studies. But that's what education looked like back then. Again, we had almost universal literacy. Actually, a Frenchman came over here, and the French were very sophisticated, despite the horrors of the French Revolution. And this Frenchman came over here, Alexis de Tocqueville, in the 1830s, and he was astounded by what he saw. He described a situation where virtually every American, in his words, receives the elementary notions of human knowledge, is taught the evidences and doctrines of his religion, is taught the history of his country, is taught the leading features of its constitution. He said virtually everybody knows this, and a man imperfectly acquainted with these things is a sort of phenomenon, right? And today it's exactly the opposite. Today, if you find someone who's even mildly acquainted with these things, that's the phenomenon. Like, wow, this guy knows something amazing. So enter Robert Owen. He proposed the idea that government ought to educate children very seriously in the early 1800s. He was a socialist, a utopian. He rejected private property. He rejected the family, started a commune in Indiana that failed in less than 2 years. And when his silly ideas failed, he came to the conclusion that this was because these children, these adults, had actually been raised in an environment of individualism, of Christianity. And so he set up, according to a whistleblower named Orestes Brownson, a secret society to advance this idea that the government ought to play some role in education and to get men elected to the legislatures who would facilitate this vision. And this is where the story gets really interesting. The whistleblower, Orestes Brownson, he became a Catholic. He repented of his involvement in this wicked plan, and he blew the whistle. He wrote a book about it. And what he says is the great object of this plan was to get rid of Christianity. So the guy who came up with the idea of government schools created a secret society modeled on the Carbonari with a goal of eliminating Christianity. That's the genesis of this system. It did not take root in America, but it did take root in Prussia. The Prussian ambassador got a hold of these essays that Owen was writing. And according to Owen, in his autobiography, he says this dictator in Prussia so much approved of these ideas that he ordered his interior minister to set it up. And that was the first ever example we can find outside of like fascist Sparta of education of the state, by the state, and for the state. That system was then re-imported into the United States through Massachusetts by another godless utopian by the name of Horace Mann. There were government schools across this country named after Horace Mann. He wanted to get the Bible out. Obviously, that didn't work because you know, Americans regarded that as an oxymoron. How could you have education without the Bible? But that's what really set in motion this train of government education. When he was done in Massachusetts, he went around the country like a traveling salesman, preaching the good news of salvation by government education. And then comes John Dewey, the communist I mentioned earlier. This is a guy who went to the Soviet Union and wrote a bunch of articles about how great it was. And he teamed up with the Rockefellers, a communist and a super capitalist teamed up. They set up an experimental school, produced a bunch of kids who couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't tell right from wrong. And they thought that will be perfect. And that is how we ended up with the system we've got today. John Dewey, in addition to being a communist, was one of the founders of the humanist religion, which, you know, if you read their religious manifesto, they say the universe is self-existing and not created, right? God says in the beginning, God created. And of course, our founding fathers, even if you're not a Bible believing Christian, our founding fathers in this country said it was a self-evident truth that God created us, that God made us equally, that God endowed each of us with unalienable rights. And so when you take John Dewey's false religion, you realize, wow, you don't have any rights. So this is really the genesis of our system. And again, they had to do it gradually. In fact, John Dewey himself wrote in an essay that he published, The Primary Education Fetish, that these changes must come gradually. If we force it unduly, it's going to compromise its final success by favoring a violent reaction. So that's the history. The evildoers who set up this system deliberately intended to fundamentally transform, to borrow some words from Barack Obama, our society, and they've been incredibly successful.
Alex, my head's about to explode because you know what? It's kind of like if you're eating something bad or drinking something bad, eventually your system starts to revolt and you start to say, gee, I don't feel right. And you say, what did I eat or what did I drink? And eventually you realize there's something wrong. I have to stop eating or drinking this. Why is it somewhere along the line, parents didn't just realize what's going on and put the kibosh to this? How was this allowed to fester for like, it's been what, 100 years or whatever?
Yeah, it has been about 100 years since most Americans ended up in government schools. And it was the old cliche about boiling the frog slowly, right? When Horace Mann and his cronies started this system, it wasn't like 9 months out of the year, 5 days a week for 8 hours a day. Just, you know, come by a little bit when you're not, you know, helping your parents with the farm or whatever, right? And so it started off very gradual. And little by little, they took more and more ground. Little by little, the schools got more and more radical. But because it happened over a long period of time, each generation said, huh, I'm not really sure the schools are doing what they should be doing. I remember, you know, learning a lot more when I was that age and things like that. But it was a very slow and gradual process so that each generation didn't become sufficiently alarmed to stop it. Now, they also used a lot of manipulative techniques, right? One thing that they did to get, because the Protestant clergy was very upset about this. In fact, one of the things that Alexis de Tocqueville says in his book is that basically all education that wasn't in the hands of parents in 1830 was in the hands of the Protestant clergy. And that was largely because we didn't have a lot of Catholics in this country yet. But then you had the large Catholic migration starting from Southern Europe, from Ireland, from other European places. And they started telling all the Protestant ministers, hey, all these Catholics, they're going to turn America into a papist, you know, hellhole. And you got to do something. Let's expand the government school system. See if we can teach these kids Protestantism. And of course, they knew they weren't going to be teaching anybody Protestantism. They knew that the plan was always to eliminate Christianity, as Robert Owen put it. But that helped get the Protestant clergy on board, and that's how they kind of disarmed that opposition starting about 100 years ago. Now, the Catholics had enough sense to say, well, let's build a parochial school system so that we don't have to send our Catholic children to these indoctrination camps. Unfortunately, the Protestant clergy didn't really catch on until the lawless Supreme Court in 1962, 1963 ruled that you couldn't have prayer and you couldn't have Bible in the schools. As the dissenting justice who wrote the dissent there, Justice Potter Stewart, explained, what they did was not create neutrality with respect to religion. What they actually did was establish the religion of secularism or humanism, as John Dewey would have known it. But, you know, the Protestant ministers, unfortunately, did not catch a lot of them still. They don't want to speak about this. You know, I'm just focused on the Great Commission. Oh, that's nice. You're going to make disciples while you lose 80% of the children in your congregation. Yeah, good luck with that. But, you know, it's the old boiling the frog slowly. That's how we got here, Gary.
Okay. Well, before I ask you to tell people about how bad it is, I want to break down two things that have happened that have happened that Okay, the first would be, how do parents allow prayer in the Bible to be taken out of school? That's one. And two, why did they even begin to allow this? Well, you can be a boy, or you can be a girl, or you can go to school, or you can say your sex is tranny, or tranny is going to teach you this. How did either one of those even catch traction?
Well, I would say, again, we have to go back to the government school system, right? Americans in the early 1960s had already been so dumbed down and so brainwashed that at least enough of them were willing to accept this outlandish idea from the Supreme Court that the First Amendment somehow required a ban on prayer and Bibles in the school. Now, first, we can tackle how absurd that is, right? Anybody can go read the First Amendment. The First Amendment says Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. The first case against prayer was involved the state of New York. The state of New York had a prayer that they had developed. It was a Protestant minister, a Catholic priest, and a Jewish rabbi had come together and created a very non-sectarian prayer. You know, hey, God, we thank you for our blessings. We ask that you, please be with us, our parents, our teachers, and our country. Nothing sectarian at all. Well, the Supreme Court said, no, that was a violation of the First Amendment. Can you imagine that? I mean, first of all, the state of New York is not Congress, right? Second of all, when the First Amendment was written and when the First Amendment was ratified, most of our states had established churches. So the idea that the founders intended to prevent prayer or Bible in a government institution is absolutely preposterous. They were trying to prevent the establishment of a national religion. So the Presbyterians or the Baptists or the Episcopalians or whatever didn't seize hold of the national government and then try to force everybody into their denomination to believe their doctrines. So that's the kind of background there. But this never would have been possible if they had not already sufficiently dumbed down and indoctrinated the American people. Now, sure, a lot of people complained. A lot of people were upset. A lot of people were upset 10 years later when they claimed you have a right that they found in the penumbras of the Constitution to murder your baby, right? But it wasn't enough to stop it. So I would argue the reason they were able to get away with that was because they had already dumbed down and indoctrinated a sufficiently large segment of the population. And I would argue that the same thing is going on now with the transgender madness. Most Americans are not okay with that. Most Americans, if you look at the polling data, even most Democrats don't want their children being taught to go get a double mastectomy or to believe that they were born in the wrong body. And yet the system is still doing it. Why? Because the system is monstrous. It's controlled by a coalition of wicked special interests. And I'll give you an example of how rapidly this brainwashing took hold. I've got a chapter in the book about the role of the foundations. I forget which chapter it is, but the big foundations, the Rockefeller, the Carnegie, you know, all these huge money foundations. Congress did an investigation into these in the early 1950s. They did the Cox Committee and the Reese Committee to investigate tax-exempt organizations. And what they found, in their words, in the final report, was that there had been a revolution in the United States. And they said that revolution, they talked about the revolution being in the past tense. They said it never would have been possible peacefully if education, or what passes for education, had not prepared the way in advance. So that applies to both of these issues, kicking out the prayer, kicking out the Bibles, and also bringing in the gender weirdness, the perversion. None of this would have been possible if education had not prepared the way in advance. That's how we got into this mess. And I'm telling you, folks, this is not the last stop on the crazy train. If we don't stop this, we have a long way to go before we fall off the cliff of madness into hell.
Hey, Alex, I got to cover my eyes for this one because I'm going to ask the big question. And I know, how bad is it?
It is so bad, Gary, that words cannot adequately describe how bad it is.
You have to. You have to help the people out here because a lot of people don't know. We think they do, but we live in a bubble and around people that do. But boy.
You're exactly right, Gary. People have no idea how bad it really is. Now, let's just forget Alex Newman, right? Let's just go to what the federal government itself is telling us. Every 2 years, they put out the National Assessment of Educational Progress. They call it the NAEP, the Nation's Report Card. They take a representative sample of victims of government schools. They give them some tests, find out how they're doing on English, math, science, writing, reading, whatever. Well, according to their data, less than one third of the victims of these government indoctrination centers are even proficient in any core subject, reading, writing, I mean, the things that parents expect that are going on there. Now, imagine this in any other context. Imagine like a fast food restaurant where only one third of the people who ordered a cheeseburger got a cheeseburger. Most of them got like a decomposing rodent or a plate full of cockroaches. Imagine a mechanic where you took your car in, you asked him to fix your car, and he takes a sledgehammer and smashes it to little pieces. And then, adding insult to injury, they say, well, you know, we'll get you a cheeseburger, just give us more money. Oh, we'll fix your car for you, just give us more money. And then they take a sledgehammer and they smash your car even more, right? These people would be raided by a SWAT team before the sun came up, and they'd be hauled off to jail for criminal fraud. And yet when the government school does this to us, we say, oh, okay, yes, master. Here, how much more money would you like? Should we do another school bond? Oh, you need my children for 12 hours a day. Oh, okay, you're going to feed them lunch, breakfast, and dinner. Okay, whatever you say, master. Oh, you're going to worry about their mental health now too? Oh, good. This is ridiculous. This is absolutely ridiculous. So you've got school. I was just in Northern Colorado a few weeks ago. The Poudre School District, I was told that school district now claims 52% of the victims of that school district are identifying as LGBTQ plus one of the alphabet letters. 52%? What? So that's how bad this is, right? We're losing about 80 to 90% of Christian children from Christian homes who go through 12 years of these indoctrination camps are going to leave the faith. They're going to leave the church. Half of them are going to graduate not knowing what bathroom to go into. Almost all of them are going to graduate dumb as a box of rocks. So it's worse than you could possibly imagine, Gary. And then to add, to make things even worse, they're brainwashing them with all kinds of diabolical, demonic ideologies from the pit of hell, globalism, socialism, communism, feminism. Pick a nasty, vile ideology that is contrary to God's order, that undermines the family, that undermines patriotism, that undermines morality, and that is being blasted into your child's hearts and minds. It's hard to overstate the danger here, Gary. And what I tell people is, look, imagine that the school building is on fire, and your children are inside, and you hear them screaming, and you smell the flesh burning, and you feel the heat from the flames. And then what do you do, right? And anybody who says run for school board or, you know, talk to your legislators is not thinking clearly. This is an emergency, ladies and gentlemen. Forget the school board for right now. Get your children out of the burning building. And I'll add this, Gary. The burning building is not an adequate analogy here, because a burning building will hurt your children physically. Yes, it might even kill them. Right? The government schools are hurting your children physically, and they might even kill them. Suicide is now one of the leading causes of death among children in America. This would have been unthinkable a generation ago. Kids are going into school and shooting each other. Kids are dying of drug overdoses in the bathroom. This is preposterous, right? So it might actually kill them. It's certainly damaging them physically, brain damage. They're getting on a massive scale. A lot of them are chopping off their private parts now. I mean, yeah, it's certainly hurting your children physically, but they're destroying your children academically, morally, emotionally, spiritually. It's way worse than anything a fire could ever do, folks. So this is an emergency. Your children are at risk in the most real possible sense. You must get them out. And I can't say it any more clearly than that.
I hear you. And the big picture is when they come out of these government schools, it's not about Republican or Democrat or anything. This is about the Constitution of the United States, that God-birthed Constitution that keeps we the people free. They will go out and support whoever is the farthest away from we the people to try and topple this country. Is that a fair assessment?
That's exactly right. And that's why we're seeing what we're seeing. Our children are literally being turned into revolutionaries ready to put a torch to this country and see it go up in flames. They're being brainwashed. They're literally being taught the exact opposite of the truth, right? And to give you just one really simple example, I know we're running up on the time here, Gary, but look, America is exceptional in a lot of ways. It's the first country in all of human history that was founded on what our founder said was the self-evident truth that all men are created equal. First of all, it's a biblical principle. Also, the first country in the world founded on the idea that God gave individuals rights and that government exists to protect these rights. They said it was a self-evident truth. It's also a biblical principle. These ideas enshrined in our founding documents paved the way for the eventual end of slavery, not just in Britain, not just here in the United States. American states were some of the first jurisdictions anywhere in the history of humanity to ban slavery. Some jurisdictions in the world didn't ban slavery until this millennium, right? Mauritania didn't criminalize slavery until the year 2007. The Arabs on the Arabian Peninsula didn't start criminalizing slavery until the 60s, okay? So it took a long time before these ideas became sufficiently well established to eradicate this scourge all over the world. And yet somehow, the mush for brains in our government indoctrination camps are being taught that America is uniquely evil because of slavery. They're not being taught that America is uniquely exceptional because we ended slavery and then insisted it be ended everywhere. They're being taught that we're uniquely evil. So what is the result of that? Well, the kids go out and they want to burn down our cities. They want to overthrow the government. They want us to look more like China or Cuba or Venezuela. We are not going to survive another generation of this without divine intervention. I can guarantee it.
Alex, you know, all my guests, they all come on and they tell people what's going on and everybody is now hanging over the cliff. But the good thing about your book, you provide solutions. So tell people, what can they do? What is the primary solution that you would want them to learn from your book about how to put, you know, put a stop to this?
Well, I think the most important thing that people need to understand is that these indoctrination camps are not safe. You cannot legitimately, in good conscience, send your children into them anymore. You must pull them out. I say it unequivocally, and I know all the standard responses that people give to justify continuing to do something that's going to ultimately destroy their children, destroy their family, and destroy their country. I don't have time. I don't have the money. I'm a single mom. I know all these things. I have plenty of sympathy for those. I'm in the same boat. I've got five children. I've got one more on the way. My wife stays home and homeschools.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, I mean, I know it's a sacrifice, right? That's what I tell people. I know it's hard. I know you have to drive. My pickup truck is 20 years old, right? I know it requires some sacrifices to do the right thing. But what sacrifice would you not make to protect your children, right? There's no more important priority that you have on this planet than the children that God has entrusted to you. So find a way, right? If the building was literally on fire, you wouldn't say, well, I'm not really sure I have the money to go rescue them right now. You know, what am I going to do with them once I get them out of that burning building? You know, am I going to have to take time off work? Am I going to have to rearrange my, I don't know if I could do that. Maybe I'll just let them burn. It's crazy talk, right? First you take them out and then you figure out the logistics of how you're going to do that. There's a lot of organizations that will help if people genuinely need help. In fact, I'm the executive director. It's a volunteer position for Public School Exit. We have a little fund. We're actually having a fundraiser at Mar-a-Lago tomorrow, where we're hoping to raise more money to help single moms, to help small churches do what they need to do to get the children out. So that's the first thing. Parents, treat the building like it's on fire. Get them out. Then either homeschool them or find a good private Christian educational institution that you have thoroughly vetted to put them in. So that's my first piece of advice. My second advice would be to pastors and to churches, you need to sound the alarm about this. The children in your congregation are roasting in these government indoctrination camps. And you as a pastor, right, parents ultimately bear the final responsibility. God ultimately entrusted them to you. But pastors, you're supposed to be equipping the saints. You're supposed to be shepherding the flock. You're supposed to be keeping them safe from the wolves all around. If you won't speak out on these issues, you are not doing your job. I'll just say it as clearly as I can. You're not doing your job. The Bible says to teach and preach the full counsel of God. That very much includes everything that it says on education, which, by the way, it says a lot on education. I'll give you one little hint that you can soak in. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:10 and in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Now, everybody listening to me and Gary right now knows very well no fear of the Lord at all is being taught in the government indoctrination camps. Therefore, there is no wisdom and no knowledge being taught in these indoctrination camps. It's just that simple. So pastors, you must speak out about this. Grandparents, you can come alongside your children and encourage them to homeschool or put their children into a private school. Maybe you can even help one or two days a week. If you're retired and just, you know, playing golf or whatever, talk to your kids. Maybe you can come alongside them and help for one or two days a week. Maybe you can help a little bit with the private school tuition if they can't afford it. There are ways to do this. If people are serious about doing it, yeah, it's going to be a sacrifice. You might have to cut out your annual vacation to Disney. You might have to downsize your house. You might have to drive an older car. But guess what? Your children are worth it. When people tell me they can't afford to pull them out, I tell them you can't afford to keep them in. And you'll find out what I mean soon enough.
All right, Alex, great wisdom there. Everybody, you have to get this book, Indoctrinating Our Children to Death. Alex, thanks for coming back. You've been on, I think, three times before on audio, first time on video. It's good to be able to see you. Please tell everybody where they can get the book and anything else you'd like to promote and how they can get in touch with you.
Well, I so appreciate it, Gary. Thank you so much for what you do. You have a wonderful show. Really appreciate the opportunity to come on. Easiest way to get the book is actually Amazon. I hate Amazon, but people can get it there. It's free shipping if you got Prime and all the rest of it. If you prefer to get a copy from me, you can go to my website, libertysentinel.org. Sentinel is S-E-N-T-I-N-E-L.org for the folks who went to government school and struggle with spelling. Libertysentinel.org. We've got an audio version that we're going to be releasing soon. And then people can follow me, my website, libertysentinel.org. People can sign up for the free newsletter. It comes out twice a week. I do a daily TV show on Lindale TV. I do a weekly radio show, nationally syndicated radio show for the New American Magazine. It goes out through AM, FM across the country. You can find it at thenewamerican.com. And I also serve as senior editor of the New American Magazine. It's a great publication.
Great magazine.
Yeah, it is. And if folks are not subscribed, I would encourage them to consider getting that. It's a good source of information to keep up on what is going on in the world. And then, of course, I'm on all the social medias. I'm on X, AlexNewman_JOU, Gab, Fascist Book, Truth Social, Getter, all those things. And hey, really appreciate it again, Gary. Thank you so much for having me on.
And thanks for coming on. There you have it. God bless you, Alex, and your family. Mr. Alex Newman.
God bless you too, Gary. Thank you.
God bless. I really want to thank Alex Newman for digging deep and pulling out the weeds on a topic that Americans must take seriously. The children, they're our future, the future of our nation. One day they're going to become the leaders. They have to know what our Constitution means. They have to know where our freedoms come from. God, not government. They have to know what we the people stand for and what has kept America free all of these years. Because if we don't stop this carnage that's going on, they're going to be lost, and America is going to be lost, because we're spiraling, teetering, you know, on destruction here. So please help Alex Newman, help me, and help everybody who believes in our Constitution, who believes in God, who believes that America is free, and we want to keep America free. Please help us to fight this battle. So we hope you'll let everybody know about this particular podcast, because this one has to be dear to everybody's heart, because this is about the kids, about our children, about our future. This podcast is available at radioinfluence.com, wherever you find your favorite podcast. Hope you subscribe to it, leave a rating and a review, and be sure to tell your friends about the show. The video versions you can find at YouTube, Rumble, Conservative Television of America. Same thing. Please subscribe, give it a like click, and hit that notification button so you can find the show. And tell your friends about it, because this is how we can help get the word out. Alex put out a lot of great information. We also have an audio version where you can hear 150 high-profile guests who have previously been on this show. The likes of Clay Clark, and yet General Flynn, Brigitte Gabriel, Mel Kay, Ben Carson, Brandon Tatum, Monica Crowley, Pastor Jack Hibbs, poor Peter Navarro. What they've done to him is criminal. You know, check out the audio version. You'll find many, many, many guests there that I'm sure you'd like to hear. Trevor Loudon, Carol Swain, Judge Jeanine Pirro, Will Witt. It goes on and on. So there's some things there, some knowledge that you can accrue from listening to them too. So that's about it for now, people. Thanks for joining us. Till the next time, this is your host, Gary Benford, saying God bless you, God bless your family, and God bless America. And people, please help us fight this battle, because we must save our children. Till the next time.